Don't you? How's that? Better? All right. Sorry about that. Lord's Supper on March 29th. And, of course, you see everything here on the back of the bulletin. The normal stuff. The Young Adult Bible Study still happens on Friday night at 7. And if you need to contact Lena to get some information on that, her phone number's on the back here. And seems to be going pretty good. Gaining new faces and young people that are interested in the Word of God. So it's always a good thing to see, especially on a Friday night. I can tell you many things I've done Friday night that was not in a Bible study. So, good job on them. But I think that's all I have. Just keep our people in prayer. I know there's a lot happening with health and circumstances in general. So I think Yvonne has a break right now from the chemo, but that's not forever. So just keep her in prayer. And I guess we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. Sounds like they're ready to rock and roll back there. That's funny. All right. All right. Well, welcome back. Here we are to number 10 and 11 on the book of James. We are moving, even though sometimes it may not feel like it. Just a lot of doctrines in the book of James. It keeps, you know, kind of spewing it out on me, so just have to talk about it where it shows itself, and we'll keep going. But James 1, 5 through 8 is where we'll get to and mostly be during these classes. Before we get going, why don't we take a moment for prayer? We know that God has a solution for everything we do in this life as believers. And one of those solutions is forgiveness and a daily cleansing that we receive when we go to Him with our faults, with our sins, and acknowledge those before Him. So let's take a moment, and we'll take care of that, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the time that we have together to gather as a congregation, to study the Word, to grow as a group of believers who are positive to the Word. And we thank you for the opportunity, and we continually pray for our country, pray for the believers, and to gain more believers to the body of Christ. And we just continually thank you for the life that you've given us through Christ, and the amazing, just the amazing example that we are and can set on this earth in which we find ourselves. We ask today for concentration, for calmness, for openness to the Word, so we can take these things and make them a part of us, and so we can be genuine Christians through and through. We thank you for this, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. Of course, we're studying still in James, and I know we've spent quite a bit of time on James 1 through 4, and for good reason, right? Considering it all joy when you encounter various trials is one of those things that takes time to think about. Takes time to think about. It takes time to learn, I would say, because there's a lot of understanding in that phrase. It's not just, hey, you know, go consider it all joy when you encounter this heartache or that heartache or this pain or that difficulty. It's a little more than that, right? And but I think we're coming to that understanding. It's becoming more clear about what it means, and I think it'll continue to become more clear, because that's a huge command that I think James explains throughout the rest of the book. So don't feel so bad if you say, well, I still don't really have that down yet. That's okay. I think that's fairly normal at this point, but just know that there is a lot that goes into that, right? Not just go do it, although it is a command, so it is a go do it as well. A couple things that I wanted to just remind you of from our last class, and these are things that you may remember, you may not, but I just wanted to point them out. One of them is application is not automatic. Application is not automatic. You know, some believers think that if they show up to church, they're just going to be awesome, amazing, good Christians that please God. It's not automatic, right? Showing up is one part. The second part is the saying, okay, I accept and I'm going to do. That's the second part. Really, the book of James is talking about doing. He's talking about taking the things that we show up for and actually living them out. That's really what we're going to be getting into in the book of James, right? And so so I wanted to make that very clear, that simply going through the trials of life and showing up to church isn't going to mean that you are doing the things that James is talking about, right? It does take some thought. Whoa. It does take some thought on your part to make the decision to move forward with what God wants you to do and how he wants you to think. And that's not always easy. But it is God's plan for us, and we, at the end of the day, have to make that decision. How do we want to experience the Christian life? Do we want to just do it sort of, you know, lackadaisical, or do we want to really be obedient Christians? And, you know, that really is what separates Christians who are faithful versus Christians who are going through the motions. And as you know, we've got an abundance of Christians that are going through the motions, and we don't need any more, right? And God doesn't really want any more, because those Christians are not in it necessarily for the right reasons, or they're just not faithful or dedicated to the Lord and service to him. And that's the objective of the Christian life, right? So, especially when you hear things that James is saying, being mature, complete, and lacking in nothing, that starts with Christ and it continues in Christ. That is a constant thing, a constant walk, a constant thing that we have to do. So yeah, Christ focused on his spiritual life, and we should too. And the thing that really, another part that we brought out in the last few classes, was the spiritual component of our lives has to supersede the physical. As hard as that may sound and may be, because you are a physical human being and you live in the physical, goes right back to what Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? And so you've got to have that priority number one, and realize that God is the one who allows priority number two, which is everything else, to come into place, and for us to not have to worry about them, because he's got it under control. So, and you know where that led us to. Wisdom, divine wisdom. And I would say this is a huge biblical topic, divine wisdom. And I keep calling it divine wisdom because you know that there's all kinds of wisdom. There's human wisdom, and there's divine wisdom, which is God's wisdom. And that's partly what I tried to emphasize last class, is that God's wisdom, it originates from him and it comes to us. And that was partly where we left off on talking about what is wisdom. And the first part of that was, it's God's. It's his thinking. It's his way of life. It's his way of doing things. And that's the applicational side. But at the end of the day, when we don't have that wisdom, we are essentially dead in the water as Christians. Because what I just described to you are necessary things in the Christian life. It's not just good advice from some person who has experienced life before. This is a spiritual step above what we can even understand, right? It's not even human understanding necessarily. It's God's thoughts in us that allows us to live, think, and breathe in the Christian life and do it in a way that is that God desires us to do. And that's everything, right? I mean, what more do you want to say than to show up after you die and say, I lived in a way that God desired me to live? That's what we would all like to say, right? So there's a big component of that in this book. And I think even though the trials may be discouraging, wisdom allows us to see different aspects, different angles, to be able to do and to think the way James is saying. You're not going to think this way without wisdom. You're not going to consider it all joy without having God's thoughts in you. Why? Because human understanding doesn't comprehend adversity in any other way except, ow, that hurts and I want to get out of here. I want to change the circumstance. I want to do something different and not take a step back. And God is doing this for a specific reason. There's a divine purpose in the testing, and I can actually have an opportunity to look at things different and to glorify God in that circumstance. See, that's foreign to human wisdom. It's not something that they can fathom. And even to the Christian who is not in the Word and not consistent, that is also foreign because it's not coming to their mind that they are to serve the Lord in and out of adversity or trials or temptations, right? So there's a lot there, but there's also a major contrast when we start to talk about wisdom. And that's kind of where we are. James is about to start talking about this contrast, and that's where we are to verse 5. And that's kind of what I wanted to get us to, because wisdom is necessary for success. And let me just start from verse 2, and we'll read through verse 5. I just like reading through the verses over and over and over and over again. So you have it jammed in your mind. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be complete or perfect, or that would be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And then here's verse 5, but if any of you, here's the contrast, but, right, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So what this is basically telling me is that everything we just heard in verses 2 through 4 depends on what he's talking about here, wisdom. He didn't mention wisdom before, but he's saying, basically, if you lack it, you're not going to be able to do what I just told you. And if you need it, guess what? You're in luck. Because we have someone that we know very well and personally who will give it to us. And that's what I like about this verse, because, well, let's start talking about where we left off, which is wisdom itself. We talked about this point. It originates from God. The word is Sophia, wisdom. Some of you have family members named Sophia. Sophie, maybe, right? My sister had a dog named Sophia. And yes, she was a smart dog. She was a German Shepherd. I think they're in the top 3, probably. So That's the Greek word, Sophia, and that's where the name comes from. And it means, of course, wisdom. It's translated wisdom. And we talked about this last class that it comes from God. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13 is a good place to look at if you want to see that. And it's definitely not the same or anything that man can come up with. It's God's. It's His thoughts. And as smart as people may be and as many things that they can invent and come up with and you know, all this life advice that we get from man, it cannot top or even equal God's wisdom. Can't do it. Why? Because it's a spiritual component, right? It's God's. It's divine. It's also eternal, I would say, for sure. And let me just read those verses because if it's not from God, if it's only from God, we need to see that. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, right? Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So this is a good verse to go to understand that not only does it come from God, but it is received with God, right? I mean, God is involved. He supersedes the oversees the process, basically, is this what this is saying. Which actually brings up the next point of this, which is the Holy Spirit is required throughout the process. The Holy Spirit is required throughout the process. And that includes teaching, being received, and actually applying it in your life. The Holy Spirit is definitely involved in that process. Which you know, that's a lesson in itself. The Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit is included in this, because how else are we going to receive it and apply it? How else are you going to teach it and have it have impact to the believer without the filling of the Holy Spirit? So this is a huge lesson here, but I'm just giving you the reality and the, I guess, the truth of the matter is that if it's from God, it takes God to oversee or supersede the process, right? And that's what the verse told us. And for us, that means filling and walking in the Spirit. At least if you want to be any consistent, have any consistency with the filling, walking is what that's how the Bible describes that. So anything dealing with wisdom has to be from God. Even when it's received, even when it's taught, even when it's applied. All these things come into play. But, you know, doesn't it go back to participation, fellowship? You've got to be at least wanting to participate to even take part in wisdom. I mean, you have to. We know what the filling of the Holy Spirit is all about. It includes it includes maintenance of sin, and includes growing spiritually to have any consistency, to be aware of our sin in our life, confession of sin, right? So we've got to be participating with God and allowing Him in our lives to be number one so that we can even receive His wisdom. That's the first part of this. Which is why God commands us to walk and be filled with the Spirit. Both of those are commands in the Bible. Not just one, not just the other one. And by the way, Jesus Christ also did those things. He was filled and walked in the Spirit. He did that perfectly, but He's our example. And the Spirit actually is what glorifies God. Not human power, not human wisdom. God's power, God's thoughts, God's way of doing things. That's what glorifies God. It's all Him. It's funny. It's an easy way to think about glorification. It says, just point the finger on God. See, take it away from self and point it on God. And that's essentially what glorifying God is. It's letting Him do what He designed and what He wants to do in His power. So, I don't know, it tells us, you know, no matter how persuasive human wisdom may sound or may be motivating, it will never compare to divine wisdom, ever. It's not the same. So, and I already said that, but there is no human substitute. There's not. So many people say they don't need the Bible because they can do the same things. They can be a good person even without the Bible. That's false, actually. You can't be a good person without God, because good to the world is different from good to God. It's two different things. The motivation is different, right? It's not just about doing good things. It's about participating. It's about fellowship with God. It's about glorifying God and serving Him in the good. That's what good is according to the Word of God. That is a foreign concept to human wisdom. See what I mean? Good to the human mind is to see someone doing something good and say that they're a good person. There's no real underlying spiritual component to that, though. See what I mean? So there's no human substitute. Even though there's preachers who preach a lot of human wisdom. A lot of human wisdom. There is a lot of preachers out there preaching a lot of human wisdom. So there's no substitute. So don't be deceived. Paul explained this idea at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 2. Look what he says. He says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom." You see what he's saying? He's saying, I didn't do it on my own. It's not just from me. It's not just from my captivating personality. It's not from my looks. It's not from the way I talk. You realize it's not about the person at all? I'm just a communicator. God is allowing me to communicate His Word, His thoughts, in His power to people that are willing to live and learn His life that He's given to us. That's it. That's all it's about. And that's what Paul's saying. I mean, the reality, do you hear what Paul's explaining here? He's explaining the human nature. He's explaining how we think. And I like how he says it, because he says, I did not come to you relying on my own human abilities. Instead, he came to them realizing his weaknesses. That's what he came to. He said, I'm nothing, right? I'm weak. I'm limited in nature. And then he says, he was with them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's the human side. That's the side we want to gravitate to, right? But guess what? That's not God. That's not the divine. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the human nature. That's a limitation, right? So, and yes, we are limited. But guess what? If we relied on our human nature, which is all the things that Paul is saying, I wouldn't make it up to the pulpit most days. Just wouldn't do it. Fear, intimidation, weaknesses, limitations. Limitations, right? If I relied on everything that I am and who I am as a person, not only would it not be communicated correctly, but it would not glorify God, and it would go nowhere as far as the communication and impact of God's Word to take and go and do. Wouldn't happen. Which is why there's a major contrast in what Paul's saying here. Look what he says next. In verse 5. This is actually, we got to verse 4 here, and this is the halfway of the verse on the bottom. And then I got the second half here where it starts the underlined part. He says, I did not come to you in this way. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's how we came to them, right? So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. There is no other way. There's no other way to do this. If we're going to do God's work, it has to be in the power of God. Otherwise, what are you resting your hat on? A man? A man's abilities? A man's looks? A man's personality? It's not going to hold you over. It may get people in the doors, but that's about it. It's not going to allow someone to come in and be a genuine Christian. All it's going to do is create some type of popular environment that people want to come to get more of this, you know, whatever it is that they're hanging their hat on. But it's not in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not in God's power. It's not allowing them to grow and become genuine Christians. See, they're in it for the wrong reasons, is what I'm telling you. So, yeah, you're weak. I'm weak. But guess what? God made us strong. God makes us strong. So, and at the same time, this is something that takes participation, what Paul's talking about. It takes you participating. You want to serve the Lord? Guess what? You can do it in your own human strength, or you can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a completely different way to serve. Number one, your motivation. Number two, your desire. Right? The power of God is the one who gives you the desire, who gives you the motivation. If you want to do it in the human flesh and in the human strength, you're never going to do it. Never going to do it. You're not going to be motivated. You're not going to be, there's not going to be any excitement. There's going to be intimidation, fear, and looking to self and realize how much you lack the ability. We all lack the ability. God gives you the ability to serve Him. He didn't say, go serve me in the flesh. He said, serve me in the Spirit. Serve me in my own power. Here you go. I'm going to give you the Spirit. I'm going to leave and I'm going to give you my Spirit. Serve me. Right? And by the way, considering it all joy when you encounter various trials is only something that can be done in the power of God. That's it. That's not something we can do. That's not something human wisdom can even logically do. It's just not something we're capable of. We don't have the ability to do that. So you can see how important this is, how wisdom is. That's really the underlying conversation, isn't it? It's about wisdom. And then Colossians 1:9 is another one. And you know, we did bring this up a while back that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit. I think it's the second or third one in that list, right? Second one. So joy is not something we can fake it for a little while in human wisdom. We may be able to experience, you know, an up or, you know, we go like this. Here we are. Oh, we're happy. But joy is divine. Joy is from God. Joy is talked about differently in the Word of God than we talk about, let's say, happiness or feeling good today. This is an internal thing. So when I see considering it all joy, I'm instantly thinking this is a product of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of is the product of. It's what the Holy Spirit produces in you. That'd be a fun study to go through those. Colossians 1:9. It says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, there you go. There's that component that I keep trying to get you to see, that is tied to wisdom without a doubt. Spiritual. Anytime you see spiritual, you can take the first five letters out of that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and say, that's what's required. Or I guess that'd be 6. It's not spiry, right? Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then we have a result right after this. Whenever I see a so that, usually it means a purpose or a result, or here's why. So you see this, what Paul's saying here, and then you go to verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in His inheritance of the saints in light. In light. Now this is an awesome set of verses to show you the result of walking in God's power. The result. Man, there's a lot in this verse. You're talking about walking worthy before God. Living a life that is worthy before God. I mean, that's huge. Pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Right there. And then it even mentions some of those. It talks about power. But look where it starts from. The spiritual component. The spiritual component. Wisdom. Wisdom. Which must include God. Specifically, the Holy Spirit. And I would say even more specifically, the Trinity. I mean, I'm just pointing out the power right now, but the Trinity is what is really indwelling us, right? So, there's the point four here on wisdom. Wisdom is required to know and do God's will. It is. That's what the verses talk about that we just saw. It is a requirement. So if you really want to know what you're supposed to do, you need to start with what God wants you to do. And the only way to find that out is through His word, through His thoughts, and through His power in your own personal life. That's the only way to figure all those things out. It's called divine guidance. So, you know, James had a hunch these believers were not in a good place, which they weren't. He also realized that they may not have the wisdom they probably needed to get them through the trials. That's why verse 5 is there. He tells them all these things. He says, well, they're not applying right now. They're not doing a good job now. So they're probably in need of some wisdom. Which he was right. He was right. So, and you will find that, in fact, at times in your own personal life. But fear not. We have verse 5 here. The word lacks, if any of you lacks wisdom here, you see it on the bottom? It means to fall short. It can mean to be inferior, to lack, to be without, to be in need or want, to be deficient. So this is something that happens. I would say all believers are, this will happen, and we're susceptible to this happening. James knows that his audience is lacking, and the reason for that is because they're not passing the test. So don't tell me you pass every test with 100%. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, you know, at those times, we're lacking in something. We're lacking in something. And I'll tell you, it's wisdom. When we're not passing a test, we're lacking the necessary wisdom we need at that moment to get through that test. That's the reality. And James clearly understands that. He knows that. He's been there himself. So we need God's solutions in our mind at the time we're unable to pass the test. I mean, that's what wisdom is. We need God's, what does God want me to do right now? So, you know, you've got to have that in your soul, in your mind, so that you can recall, apply to the trials of life. But notice there's two parts to this verse. There really is two parts to this verse. And I think the first part is obvious. The most obvious one is to recognize your deficiency. You have to recognize that you're lacking. And I would say that's the easier part, because we all recognize when we're lacking by our lack of success within a trial. When it hurts, when we're not doing a good job, when we're not passing the test, when we keep going, making wrong decisions, that should clue us in that we're lacking in something. And I don't just mean the human nature. You're going to experience physical things because of the human nature, right? That's not what I'm talking about. God's not going to turn you into Superman just yet. You're still on this earth in a human body, and you still have to deal with the things that we deal with from the sin nature. But guess what? That doesn't dictate what we think and how we think and how we experience a circumstance. You realize that? Those two things can be completely separate. How you experience something and your attitude within those things are two different things. So the first thing we need to do is realize that we lack, hopefully, in this area. Because if you say, well, I'm just lacking in human strength, guess what? That's not going to get you where you need to go. I'm lacking in health. If I just get healthier, I'll feel better and I'll be able to successfully get through the trial. That's a negative. Just because you feel better doesn't mean your soul feels better. Just because you're better physically doesn't mean you're better spiritually. Right? You can be a very healthy, miserable, angry, bitter person. Do you know that? What I'm trying to get you to see is that you can be spiritually sick and not look to the right place to say, okay, this is what I need to fix the problem. I mean, we could go all over the place to try to fix the problem. Goes back to kind of what we've been talking about. Spiritual first, physical second. You can try to change the circumstance, or you can fix what truly needs to be fixed, which is the way you think at that moment in your life. So, recognition. And that's sometimes easier than it sounds. Because how often do you find yourself in a test that you can't seem to pass? A lot. It happens a lot. You know, God isn't just going to throw a small test at you. He's going to give you a test that's in line with your spiritual growth. So, you know, sometimes those tests can put us on the sidelines for a little while. Because we're lacking. We're lacking, right? We keep doing the same things. We're not passing the same test. We get frustrated at God because we're not passing the test. Isn't that crazy? That's what we do. God, how can you do this for so long? And He's like, well, pass the test. Pass the trial. He's waiting on us. We're waiting on Him. It's a gridlock. It's a deadlock. So yes, we've all experienced that. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons we do that. But the main reason is because we're lacking in wisdom. We're lacking in the wisdom we need to get us through the test. That's the only reason. That's the only reason you're not passing a test, is because we lack the truth, the necessary information, or, which is the second part of this, we'll talk about when we come back, we're rejecting it. That's an option. That's an option. It's here, but we can just as easily say, oh, that's not it. That's not going to work, right? So, James is just giving us a reality check in what we're missing when we don't pass the test, when we don't pass the trials, temptations, when we fail to those temptations, we're lacking wisdom. We're lacking wisdom. So with that being said, let's go ahead and take our break. Dear Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for the sins of the world and made that available to us who are sinners, who are lost, who are destined to death and hell. The reality is those things are an option because you have given us a better option in Christ Jesus. Sin and death are not the end. They're not the end of the road. Unless we reject what Christ did for us, unless we reject Jesus Christ. So the only issue in defeating sin, defeating death, and living in a relationship with God forever is, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the reality that every believer must deal with, or every person must deal with and must make a decision on. Either you accept or you reject what He did on your behalf. Because either you accept it, but if you reject it, it doesn't take away the reality that He did it. So we thank you for that reality. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the word. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.